I've got so much, Carol, I could burst. God is an amazing God, and I just thank him for the work that he does in our lives. And the more you get digging into his word, the more you see a pattern emerging of what God's doing, and it's exciting. It might not always be, you might not always feel excited at what happens to you, but you know, we should welcome the oppositions, because today, even as Ken was talking, to bring us to that fulfillment that God wants, there's a process involved in all of that. It's not all smooth sailing, is it? He talked about huge waves coming for us when we get on that sea. It's quite awesome to get on there, but you know, God's bigger than that sea. He made the sea, and so he's bigger than the sea, and he's bigger than your situation. So I just want you to take encouragement today. God's bigger than your exam. God's bigger than your limitations. He's got the answers. He's got everything that you could possibly need. He's got your health. He's got your wholeness. He's got your future in his hands. He loves you dearly. He wants the best for you. But you flow with him. You go with him. You focus on him. You let him take charge. You let him lead you. And he'll lead you into those green pastures and by those still waters. And you'll not be afraid when it gets to the dark patches, because your confidence will be in God. You know who supports you and who's in charge of you, who's leading you this way. That's all that matters. Don't worry about the path. Just know that God's leading you this way, and it has a purpose. It has an end, a good end, that you might be closer to him. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're so excited with you. We're so blessed to be your children. And Father, I thank you for that privilege today. I thank you that you saw us in that mass sea of faces before the foundation of the world. You saw us, you chose us. You ordained the Father at the time in which we would be manifest on the earth. And Lord, you had a purpose for us at this time. Lord, and I just thank you. We just say, fulfill your purpose in our lives, in Jesus' name. I was really blessed. Two or three weeks ago, I was reading my daily Bible, and I came across this scripture in Exodus 27, and there's two scriptures, two verses, verses 20 and 21. I've taken this from the King James, so yours, each translation might read a little differently. I'm going to follow it from the King James, because it's quite relevant for what I want today. And I've entitled the message, Bringing the Oil for Worship. That's what God wants us to do. The oil, as you all must know, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And when we got born again, the Holy Spirit came to abide within us. And now the process is to get the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to come forth, to pour forth from us, and for this flesh man not to cloud him. And that's the whole purpose of what God's on with at present. So in Exodus 27 and verse 20, it says, You shall command the Israelites to provide you pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always, in the tent of meeting, outside the veil, which sets apart the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall keep it burning from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations. Well, I thought, I've often heard Bish refer to this verse about this is where they take it, that we should bring, the congregation brings the oil to the place of God, to the meeting house of God. And I thought, I need to chew this verse. I need to dissect it and get into it and see what all these words mean. And so I went into the Companion Bible and I did some digging, and it's interesting what you find. You find a common thread, a common theme running through scripture, you know. And a lot of it, if you look at when God called his great men, and even his not so great men at first, like Gideon, who was hiding in the wine press. You know, it just goes to show the inadequacy of us makes no difference. If we'll focus on God and go with him, he will make us great, and his name will be glorious, but there's always a process that he takes you through. And you know, he often starts with people who think that they're at past the sell-by date and they can't do it. And well, that's an ideal candidate for God. He wants somebody who can't do it, because he can do it. That's the good news. So in your inadequacy, that's where he wants you. In your weakness, that's where he wants you, because his strength always comes through in our weakness. Paul found that out. He's a great encouragement to us. Notice the third word there, you shall command. It's a command. Can we grasp that? What's the command? When an officer gives a command, whoops, everybody does, they take notice, don't they? It's not like it's an option. This is not an option. This is a command. So, God is giving us a command. He's saying to the Israelites, now, we're God's children. He was commanding them at that time when they were worshipping the temple, in the tabernacle. He was telling them to come and to bring the oil for worship. And he is saying to us, his children, we're his family. And he's saying, come on, family. Come and meet me in the house of meeting. Come and meet me. Tabernacle with me. Worship. Come full of oil and come to my presence. It's a command. You come full of the oil. Let that oil spill over. Let your lives display this oil, manifest this oil. Don't let the flesh get in the way. It had to be pure oil. Now, I don't know if you've seen the adverts on especially when motor racing's on all this track, and the... Sorry, Andrew. Sorry, Ken. All this about motors, in the adverts, there's often the advert of the oil, you know, and you get this. Oh, fantastically clear, smooth, rich, shiny oil, don't you? Pouring out, Castrol GTX or something, pouring out of this container. And it looks lush, it looks gorgeous. Well, get your eye on that oil, because that's what's inside of you. Not Castrol GTX, but the oil of the Holy Spirit is inside you. And it's that lush, rich, shiny, thick oil that wants to flow out of you. And there's only one thing that stops it flowing. It gets bunged up with flesh. And I went on to this oil in the, actually in the Authorized Version. It represents richness, fullness, plenteous, without measure. Now what does that tell you about? The Holy Spirit was given without measure in John chapter 3 and verse 34. There's no limit to the Spirit of God. He'll take you, you'll soar. We've been talking, Helen's got a fabulous study on eagles soaring in the heavenly realms and going miles and miles and miles high above the clouds, above the daylight today. You know, not cumbered up or cluttered up by anything, but just free to fly, free to soar. And that's what the Holy Spirit, he can do. He can take us into those realms where our bodies are no limit. You know, you're not bothered about what's happening in this earthly realm. It's irrelevant. It's all, God's got that under control. Let's not worry about that. God will do it his way, his time. But meanwhile, I'm going to soar with the Spirit. But I'll leave Helen to go into that one. But it represents the richness, the fullness, an abundance without measure. But you know, this, to produce this rich, shiny, lubricant oil, there's a process. Uh-oh. Always a process, God. Why this process? Because we're so full of us, aren't we? I know I am. Sometimes I look at me and I think, Grace, there's too much of you. Does it matter what you think? Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. It matters what God thinks, and it matters what God does. This process that God takes us through, I went onto the website and I was thinking of olive oil, because it refers here to the pure olive oil. And I'm thinking, how do they get oil out of olives? Well, there's only one place to find out, and that's on the internet. So I went on the internet and looked under olive oil, and it was quite interesting. First, they pick the olives off the tree, obviously. And then, they're crushed. Does this sound familiar? And then when they're crushed, they're kneaded to a pulp. And as if that's not enough, well, it isn't enough, because at that point the oil and the flesh are together still. We haven't got the oil out. So to get the oil out, they put it in a centrifuge. Now I'm a bit lost here, I've never seen one. But, come on you clever bright sparks, what's a centrifuge? Spin dryer. Oh well, I know when I put stuff in spin dryer, all clothes go to outside and water goes down middle, out at pipe. That's what it is, that's the principle, is it? Well, that's what they do with the olive oil. Well, the olives, after they've beaten them, belted the living daylights out of them. Do you feel like you've been in that centrifuge sometimes? You do, don't you? You come out spinning. But it puts it in that centrifuge, and then it's spun at high speed to separate the flesh from the oil. The flesh all gets thrown out to the sides. Oh, and then that beautiful oil flows, and they collect it. And good news, folks. No one's exempt from it. And you youngsters, if you haven't got there yet, you will. You're probably thinking, well, I think we've started. But we really are. Through our lives, it's the process of being going in that centrifuge and letting that flesh man just be taken out of us. Because God is determined it's going to be all spirit, and we're going to flow in that rich, beautiful, abundant oil. It's interesting to know, and this is not, well, it is relevant, but I was, olive oil is the only vegetable oil that has its own antioxidants in it, and it has no toxins in it, and it doesn't need any further processing to be eaten. It's the only vegetable oil that has that. And I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit, he has all his antioxidants within him, and so they're all in with me. I don't need to take these vitamins. The antioxidants are within me. The Holy Spirit's within me. There's health. There's healing. He's eating up all the gunge and the rubbish in me and bringing life and goodness. It's all good news where the Holy Spirit is. That's what he's in us. And he wants to get out. He wants to push out. And he wants to flow out of us. Let's not let this flesh man get in the way. Say, God, get me in that centrifuge, and let's be rid of this flesh. But just a minute, we do need a bit of flesh, don't we? Because you know, when that oil is it's an integral ingredient for many things. Once it's become oil, it's an ingredient. I put oil in our bread maker and we get beautiful bread, and it takes on another shape, doesn't it? And that's another attribute of oil. It forms into something else, but it gives life. It's embodied in another way. But, oh, it's so beautiful, the Holy Spirit. This oil is fantastic. And when we went to Egypt for the first time, that was the first time I ever smelt an oil-based perfume. I mean, there's plenty of foul smells in Egypt. And you really do need some beautiful aromas. But they had the most beautiful, didn't they? Oil-based perfume. Yeah, and they are the strongest carrier. It contains that scent, that aroma, and it lasts forever. Gorgeous it is. Beautiful. Oil-based paint, yeah, that's horrible. They've done away with that, haven't they? Have they? No? Still have oil-based paint? Is that what gloss paint is? Well, because that smells longest, doesn't it? Anyway. The light, beaten, so it's got to be beaten. If it's going to be pure oil, that's how it gets pure, by process, a process of being beaten and put in the centrifuge. It's beaten so that it might bring out the light. It's for the light. The light in this verse means bright, cheerful and luminous. Are we going to be bright and cheerful and luminous? Eh? I want to be bright, cheerful. I want to, when I go into a room, I want somebody to say, wow, I feel much better. Something's happened. What have we taken in? We've taken the Holy Spirit in. That bright light, cheerful light. It's luminous. When something's luminous, your eye's drawn to it, isn't it? Do you remember them? Kids used to wear them green luminous t-shirts at one time, and luminous orange. Your eyes couldn't get away from it, could they? You nearly went cross-eyed looking at it. But you're drawn to the luminous light. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He draws men to him. You know, in the oil-based perfumes, they attract people. And the aroma of Jesus attracts. It's all about drawing men to the light, drawing people to us. And that's God's purpose. It's his plan. But you know, it's no good us sitting there being spectators. Well, you'll not be a spectator for long, because when God throws you in that centrifuge, then you'll learn that there's something's afoot here. God's doing something here. And if you don't, then you'll keep getting thrown in that centrifuge until you realise it's the oil he wants out of you. Don't keep having to go in that centrifuge. Learn quickly. Respond quickly. Let the flesh go. Don't try and hang on to it. You'll never manage it in the centrifuge, I promise you. That light, you know, it's interesting on the fourth day. Four is a world number, isn't it? And it stands for the Trinity. We've been singing about the Blessed Trinity today. Trinity plus man. And that's what the Holy Spirit's about. We're full of the Holy Spirit. God wants us here on the earth to reach the world. And it's the light that he wants to use in us. On the fourth day, which incidentally, GC told us, was the longest day in creation. I thought they were all the same length, but this was the longest day in creation. It was the day that he made the sun, the stars and the moon to give light to the earth. And here we are, this bright chip. There's nothing yesterday. I was so blessed, weren't you? This bright, cheerful, luminous sun in the sky. It did wonders for me. I was out in that garden. You couldn't keep me in. I was out cutting the lawns. It was like the jungle down there we'd not been. First time this year down the bottom of the garden. And I was pushing this mower. But you know, it was a pleasure because I was out in the light. I was out in the sunlight. I was basking in it. I was soaking it up. I can't lay in it anymore. I'm not saying that's old age. Don't admit it, do I? But I can't lay in it anymore. But oh, I love to be out in it. I love to feel that warmth and that glow on me. It's just so fantastic. There's nothing like that beautiful warmth of the sun. And that's God, isn't it? That's God in his bountiful, his limitless giving and loving. And oh, it just embraces, it embodies God. It just reflects God. It just makes you feel so different. But you know, we're not to run on our feelings. You know, God's not a God of depression. If you're feeling depressed today, then you're under these clouds and you're looking at that instead of looking above the clouds and seeing what's in you. Whoa, that oil that's flowing in you. Oh, it's just so amazing. How can we focus on mundane rubbish like what's out there today? Who cares what's out there today? When the sun's out, you enjoy it. You soak it up. And when it's not, still soak it up, and soak it up from this word, and you'll reflect it. Jesus said that a light isn't to be hidden, it's a city set on a hill. You don't put a lamp under a bushel, do you? It's there to light the world, for men to see, to be drawn to that light. To burn always, to burn. When something burns, you imagine a flame. This word burn means ascend up. It means exalt. It means leap. We're all for dancing, aren't we, Bill? Eh? It means to leap, to lift up, to stir up. Whoa, what you can get from burning. That's what the oil does. It causes us to leap, to lift up, to exalt, to ascend. Where we're going, into heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what that oil does. You know, Paul said, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. He's talking, he urges Timothy, he says, stir up the gift that is within you. That flame burns and it stirs up the gift. When we come together, let that flame burn, let that oil burn, and let that gift that God's given you be stirred up, and let it pour forth, let it burst forth. Don't let this container, this flesh, hold it back, but just give it, go for it, tread on that water, and woo, go, amen. You know, it says to put on, this flame, this burning is to put on. And Paul says, put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Woo! That's Romans 13 and verse 14. Put on this Christ and make no provision for the flesh. When you get in God's house, put on Christ. In fact, don't just wait till you get here. Put him on every morning. Praise God. And when you get to God's house, it'd be the most automatic thing. You'll start from a level way up there and you'll go into heavenly realms, won't you? You know, I was thinking about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. They took oil in the lamps, didn't they? Well, the wise did. But you know, the five foolish virgins only took enough oil to keep the lamp going until the bridegroom came. So the bridegroom tarried. And we're having to tarry till the bridegroom comes. But you know, don't forget to bring some oil for your lamp, because when he comes, then that's not the time to be going out looking for oil. You need your oil with you to keep your lamp lit, because then you'll go up. And it said it's about that in the not the Amplified, well, whatever Bible I'm looking at. It talks about it's coming together with him and then going off with him. And I think, whoa, come with your oil to meet him, tarry for him, wait for him, and when he comes, have your oil ready, and go up, ascend up with him, and go off with him into heavenly places, your bridegroom. I thought, whoa, praise God. You know, it's no good making provision for the flesh. Don't come to church with an attitude. The only attitude you need to come to church with is an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Don't come in any other attitude. We've talked for years about creating the atmosphere. You know, we come and it only takes one to create a bad atmosphere, doesn't it? And if that atmosphere is there, everyone else seems to get tainted with it. And the Holy Spirit is very gentle. You know, he comes to rest. And he's easily frightened off. He's easily gone away. Because we're not prepared, we haven't come with the oil, we've come with the wrong attitude. And I would encourage us to come with the right attitude, to bring harmony, because the Holy Spirit works in unity. In Acts chapter 2, when they were all together in the upper room, the unity of the Holy Spirit is what brought the power. So we need that, treasure it, guard it, bring that unity. You know, and if you don't feel right, and I'll guarantee you on a Wednesday and a Sunday, the day that the devil's going to attack, because that's when we're coming to tabernacle with God to meet with him. And there, that's when we need to wise up. And if there's a problem with somebody and we can't put it right, at least put your attitude right with God. Get into that place where you're repenting before God, even if you perhaps don't think you're in the wrong. Still focusing on God and come with that right attitude and put aside the day and the problems of the day. You know, it's not how we feel. The next word says, burn always. Always. It's not like, I don't feel like it today. Well, they belong to your feelings. They're irrelevant. And the sooner we learn that, the better. We are so much creatures of feelings and circumstances. God's not in that. He wants us to mature and get beyond that and to go higher. And I'm talking to myself too. Stuff's been going off at work and I've been thinking, oh God, I don't like the way this is looking. And God's saying, rejoice. Well, I need to work this through. And God says, you don't need to work anything through. All you need to know is I'm in charge. And it'll work according to my plan and purpose. So just rejoice. So I'm telling you, whatever's against you, switch off to it and rejoice, because God knows what he's doing. He knows when he's going to do it. He knows how he's going to do it. And if you've got to stay in that centrifuge, then I'm sorry, but you have, because the oil will flow. The oil will flow, and the sooner we get our attitude right, and the sooner we stop living by our feelings, I reckon the quicker the oil will flow and we'll be out that centrifuge. So let's go for it. Let's wise up. Always, continually, that oil has to flow. It has to burn. We always need to be in worship, in praise. And you need your flesh to do that, don't you? I can't leap and dance without my flesh. My spirit can, but my body wants to follow. And it wants to dance, and it wants to throw its arms up in the air, and it wants to reach to God up there. There's something inside you that's pulling you up and pulling you up. Suck me up, God. Let me go up higher. Praise God. The tent of meeting. In the tent of meeting. The tabernacle. The tabernacle is where God dwells with his people. Another word for it is home. How do you like that? I do. Home. That's where God tabernacles with you. And if we tabernacle with God continually, then when we come into his house, it'll not be a problem to tabernacle with him, will it? It'll just be automatic. We'll flow. As a testimony. A testimony is a witness. A witness to unbelievers. God wants this oil to flow out of us as a testimony to unbelievers, so that, you know, it's so easy, isn't it, to get caught up. Somebody will say, oh, I feel ill and all this, and we start thinking about symptoms and talking to them about symptoms and what happened to me, and I know somebody else that had that. And just a minute, the oil's inside us, the medicine's inside us, the antioxidants are inside us to reach out to that person. Let's learn to be bold and to pray for that person. Let's do it. Let's reach out to these people at their point of need. We have the answer in this oil flowing. Let this oil spill out. Just partake of him every day and just let this oil flow and flow. And when you go out, it'll be the most natural thing in the world. Come here, let me pray for you. Let's flow, let's flow. Let's let the Holy Spirit do his work out there. Let men and women be drawn to him. This aroma, this rich oil, this beautiful, plenteous, abundant oil. Let it flow out of us. Let these containers not be dark and depressed and hold it in. But let us be light to the world. Praise God. It was their statute, their custom. Let it be habit to do this. And then the last thing was forever and to all generations. Forever means without end. This is not just for a season, folks. This flowing with the oil, this oil for worship, is forever. This is how God always wants us to come into his house, flowing with this rich, abundant oil. So, you know, before you come to fellowship, you'll not come into worship if you haven't been in his presence this week. We need to be in his presence. We need to be drinking in of him on a daily basis, and we need to become sensitive to him. We need to learn to talk to him when you're driving the car, when you're sat typing, whatever you're doing, when you're at your machinery, or when you're, I don't care, at some point. There is a point, I think Catherine found on the trains to work, she can just switch off to what's around her and start to focus in on God. And to a measure you can when you're driving. If you're stuck in traffic, well, switch off to the traffic jam and tune into God. Never mind the radio, tune into God and start listening to the spirit man inside you. Cultivate this relationship, this listening, this communion with him. And then when we come to the house of God, we'll be on a platform ready to go higher. We'll not have to build up, we'll be there and we'll go. And the less will be affected by what's going on or isn't going on around us. It's not important. It's important that the flesh man is dissolved and that the spirit man rises up. I was at the beginning of the week, this old hymn came to me, and don't ask, well, it must, this has got to be God's spirit, because I don't sing this hymn. We used to sing it at school, but I went in the old Golden Bells hymn book and found it, and it's, "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways, reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. In simple trust like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea the gracious calling of the Lord, let us like them without a word rise up and follow thee. O Sabbath rest by Galilee, O calm of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity, interpreted by love. With that deep hush subduing all our words and works that drown, the tender whisper of thy call, as noiseless let thy blessing fall as fell thy manna down. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heats of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire, O still small voice of calm." I think that's lovely. The earthquake will come, the wind and the fire. But it's a still small voice you want to be listening to. The earthquake will grab your attention, and the wind and the waves will grab your attention. Don't give it to them. Listen, be still. Focus in on that still small voice.
Just something I'm going through is, you know, I went to university. I did a degree in French and Spanish, and 3 years later I went to Hallam University. I did the postgraduate to be a teacher, and according to the system here in England, you are supposed to find a job straight away, and your first year, what they call the induction year or your QT years. And I haven't done it. I'm on my third year. Of course, I'm applying for jobs, but I'm just leaving it in God's hands, because I know it's God who told me to go into teaching. It's not me. I wouldn't choose teaching at all. And I had to obey, and I did. And it was in 1992, God just said to me, "Teaching." I didn't understand what he meant. And what happened, I wasn't yet in Doncaster, I was in the south of England. I went to see someone. He said to me, "Don't worry. When it will be the time, God will tell you exactly what to do." And I arrived in Doncaster in November 92. And about March, April 93, my English teacher said to me, "Anne, I've got something for you." And she showed me a leaflet, and God said to me, "Here you are." And he was going into teaching. And I started to look after, to find out more about it. And I started studying in 94. So I knew for sure I was on God's path. And right now I'm in a position. I did my teaching, and I started working as a supply teacher, just waiting to find a job. And I started in 2003. And in 2004, I was working in a school called Hunger Hill Secondary School. And one day I left that school. God said to me, you will go back to that school. And what I understood means I will have a post in that school. So I just accepted that in my heart. And I pushed it aside, waiting for that time. And I went several times in that school. And I was working for two agencies. And after later, I had my third agency. And from 2003 until 2005, I worked into different schools in Sheffield, Doncaster, and Leeds. And when I wasn't working teaching, I was doing some interpreting, or I was working for Andrew, which means I was always busy. But one thing I didn't know, the time was going on, according to your induction year, there is a period to do it. And obviously, I passed that time and I didn't know. And I found myself in December, I didn't find a job, the job came to me. I was just at home, a phone call on one Saturday, and on Monday I was in the office, explained to me my job, and working with asylum seekers and refugees children. And I've been doing that since December. And I really I'm working in primary school and secondary school. I love that job. And when they started, I started in December, just before Christmas. So they said to me, they are not going to pay me December now. They will put December and January together, and they will pay me in February. And February arrived, and I didn't receive any money. So I made a request, and there they started to investigate in my life, and their problem started. And telling me that I'm not qualified anymore. And after 3 weeks after, they said, you are qualified. So they said, they are not going to pay me as a qualified teacher. And after, they said, we will pay you as the qualified teacher, but you have to prove how many days you work from 2003 and 2005. You are supposed to work in they give you normally 5 years to do your induction. They said, in the period of 5 years, you have to work 260 days. And after they came back to me a month later, they said to me, you passed all that days, you passed your year of induction, you had an extension, so you are out. But they didn't say it like that to me. So on Thursday, I went to see my boss. He said, from 5th of May, they are not going to pay you as a qualified teacher. They are going to pay you, if you want to carry on working with us, we have to hire you as an assistant, and we will pay you as an assistant. So I said to him, I will accept it because I'm looking for a job and I have to stay in the field of teaching to apply for a job, because he said to me he's going to give me a reference. So I said, the only reason I want to stay is just for apply for a job and for you to give me a reference, and after I move on with it. And last month, I just felt in my spirit the same thing. God said to me, Hunger Hill School. So I didn't want to apply to other schools, but I couldn't see any Hunger Hill School on the website when I go there. And I didn't know what to do, but I started to feel the pressure of LEA, Doncaster, a local education authority, on me. And my boss also. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do something. I'm going to look for jobs, apply for what I found according to my diploma, just to prove them I'm doing something. I'm not sitting just there doing nothing. But it was so strong in my spirit, God said, the one he told me in 2004 is the one he will give me. But I'm thinking, I need to that to prove them while waiting to the other one. So I applied to 2 jobs in April, and of course I received 2 negative letters. So I told them I've done it and look at what I've received. So my boss said to me, is anybody checking your application forms? I said, I've never done that before. I never gave anybody my application forms. Never. I said, I always give the letter of application. So he said, okay, what we are going to do, come to my house and we work on that. Because being a boss, he knows what it is, what he's looking for in an application form. So he told me that on Thursday. So I said, okay, I'm coming on Saturday evening, and we will work on, because I said to him, I've got 4 application forms at home. He said, okay, come on on Saturday evening, and we work on it. That was Thursday. So I left from Thursday, I went to work. Friday, he sent an email to LEA. He said, here you are. Anne decided to stay with us. She decided to take the job as an assistant. Even the money is different. And she's going through the application forms, and I decided to help her to fill the application forms because I'm going to give her a reference. He received a phone call. They said, no, you can't do that. She's not anymore a teacher. She passed her time. She's not anymore a teacher in England. He was supposed to call me on Friday evening to let me know, and he didn't. And yesterday evening, I called him, as usual. I said, what time do you want me to come? He said, oh, I wanted to call you. I got a bad news for you. But before calling him, an hour and a half, just before calling him, I was just filling my application forms with pencils. And one thought said to me, go on the internet, type the website, and check. Today's Saturday, every Friday they put new advert, and I went there and I found mine. It was written Hunger Hill Primary School looking for a French teacher. I went, yes, I just screamed. And I said, that's it, it is. And after an hour and a half, I called him and he gave me that news. He said, you are not a teacher anymore, according to what they said. I said, wow. So I didn't go yesterday. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm just carrying applying for. He said, okay, come Sunday morning and we'll go through it. So I went this morning to his house. We just went through the application form. And it's a bit complicated when you haven't done an induction because there is no place for you to fit, really. So, and I prayed about it. I said, God, do you want me to share that with him? He's not a Christian. And I went this morning, I didn't share what God told me. I didn't share with you. He said, go and see your union and ask them to help you. And I said, okay, I'll do that. I'll give them a call and I'll make an appointment just to see, because you need to find someone who knows a bit about your problem, someone who haven't done any induction the first year in teaching. I said, okay. So I kept, really, it's like I'm on what I was sharing last Wednesday with you. My eyes is on the unseen. And the unseen is God said, he talked to me in 2004. He said, you will go to that school. You will go back to that school. But that school never put an advert since 2004. Never had one. There was one when I was there, a teacher left, she went back to France, but apart that, never had one until 2 days ago, they put it. And I knew it was the time, because 3 weeks ago, God said to me, it's coming. He just said to me, it is coming, just wait. But because of the pressure, I applied to others. I got a pile of application from there. But I found it so hard just to apply to those, to feel that. I found it so hard. But this morning, he just went down with me point by point and explained to me how to do it. So I said, he said, okay. So I brought all my application forms to him and he explained to me. But in my mind, it's like I'm going to practice with them, because on Tuesday, I'm going to receive the application form to fill. And I'll send it. Because he said to me, I'm helping you, but if they said to you, you are not able to do it, you won't do it. And I said, in my heart, you think. I bet you I will. But I didn't say anything to him. But he said to me, go and see your union. I'm thinking, I don't have to. I don't need to. But they will ask me some proof, because they want to know where I'm going now. And it's like I'm going against their flow. But I said, I'm looking at the unseen. I'm not looking at the things which we can see. The law, their law, is changing every year. God's word never changes. He said something to me in 2004. I'm still standing on it, and I will go through it until the end. I will go. Even what they said to me, I won't stop. I will go through it and let God be glorified. Of course, he will create problem because he's still Doncaster LEA. Therefore, they will see my name. But I'm just every day asking God wisdom to know each step where to go with that situation. It's like that verse came in my mind, where sin abound, the grace of God so abound. And it's just in that situation. But I just need to keep my eyes on the unseen and not on the things which sin, because they are just temporary, they are laws. Just temporary. Because the lady who's dealing with my situation, she didn't know at all what was going on. She doesn't know anything about that, because she deals with people doing their first year, teachers doing their first year. She has never dealt with teachers who are behind, so she didn't have a clue what was going on. She couldn't help me, and she just decided, and she said on Friday, that's it, I'm out. I said, in your eyes, but not in God's eyes. I'm still on it because he said something to me, and I'm just carrying doing it. Yeah.